Hey guys, this is Guillaume Joshi with Superior North. Welcome back to my channel. Last week, we looked at Chevron's core business. We looked at the business model, the risk factors, and the contingent liabilities associated with investing in that company. This week, we will be doing a fundamental analysis on Chevron. We will be looking at the key ratios. We'll be doing a discounted free cash flow, DCF analysis to find the intrinsic value of the company. And we'll also do an expected rate of return calculation to figure out if we were to invest in Chevron at the current valuations, what kind of return can we expect from that investment? So let's dive in and look at Chevron.
Hey guys, let's start off by looking at the key ratios. I'm on Morningstar for Chevron under key ratios, financials. All the numbers here are in millions of dollars. The revenue we can see back in 2010 was about $200,000. And for the trailing 12 months, it's about $115,000. We can see that from 2010 to 2014, the revenue was a little north of $200,000. And right after that, from 2015 till today, we can see that the revenue has been declining, and now it's just a little north of $100,000, which isn't surprising given the fact that the crude oil prices have been declining. The operating margin goes hand in hand with the revenue, where up until 2014, the numbers are a lot better than from 2015 till today. In fact, in 2015 and 2016, the operating income was negative. And for the trailing 12 months, it's negative because we know the impact that coronavirus had on travel and the demand for gasoline and jet fuels and crude oil in general. Next is the net income, which has been all over the place given the cyclicality of this business, where in 2010 it was 19,000, in 2012 26,000, 2015 4,000, 2016 actually had a negative year, 2019 2,900, and for the trailing 12 months it's negative $8,700. So we can see that there's a cyclicality in the business, and it's evident when we look at the bottom line of this company. Next, we can see that the dividend payments have been increasing every year since 2010, which is something that you and I as shareholders pay close attention to. However, we also need to pay attention to the payout ratios. And what a payout ratio is, it's simply comparing the dividends to what the company's earnings are. So we can see that back in 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, even 2014, it was fairly manageable, where the most that Chevron was paying out was about 38% of its earnings. However, we can see that ever since then, since 2015, the payout ratios have been either very high or we can't really calculate it because we had negative earnings. We can see that these ratios, 126%, 59, 69, are way higher than where Chevron was 10 years ago. And unless gasoline prices increase and Chevron's profitability returns, it's going to be harder for Chevron to increase its earnings and support these dividend payouts. So just something to keep an eye on. We shouldn't get too razor focused on the absolute dividend payout number, but we need to look at what the dividend is compared to the earnings and if such a dividend would be feasible long term into the future. Next, we can look at shares outstanding. We can see that back in 2010, about 2 billion shares were outstanding. And for the trailing 12 months, it's about 1.8 billion. This is good news for the shareholders because as Chevron buys back its shares, it increases the ownership of the shareholders within the company. Next is the book value per share. Book value is simply total assets minus total liabilities. And what's left after that is your book value. And book value back in 2010 was about $52 per share. And for the trailing 12 months, the book value is sitting at about $72 per share. It's important that we do not focus on book value too much when making investment decisions, especially given where oil and gas industry is right now, which is in a slump, simply because it's likely that a lot of the assets that Chevron reports are impaired. In other words, if Chevron says that they have an asset, a plant that's worth $100, and if they went to sell that asset today, they may get $30 because no one wants to buy the refinery because it's not even profitable to buy it. Even though from an accounting standpoint, from a bookkeeping standpoint, that asset is worth $100, in reality, it might be worth $30. So just because a company says that the book value is $71 per share, it is not likely that if Chevron were to liquidate today, you would get $71. So but don't make your decision solely on this one number. Next, we'll look at the free cash flow. The free cash flow is what we get when we subtract capital expenses from operating cash flow. Back in 2010, the free cash flow was $11,747. And for the trailing 12 months, it's at $5,472. And we can see that in 2013, 2014, 2015, and 2016, all those cash flows were negative. So this just goes to show that there is cyclicality in this business. And we will be using the free cash flow numbers from 2010 to 2019 in our expected rate of return calculation. I will also be using the 2019 number in my DCF, the discounted free cash flow analysis calculation. It is my understanding that 2019 numbers would give me a better picture of Chevron on a long-term perspective, not necessarily what would happen in the next 2 or 3 years, but more on 10 years or into perpetuity. So we will be using the 2019 free cash flow number for the DCF analysis. Next, let's look at the financial health, the liquidity measure, specifically the current ratio, which is the ratio of current assets to the company's current liabilities. And it gives us an idea if the company has enough liquidity to survive for another 12 months. And a number greater than one tells us that, yes, the company will able to survive for the next 12 months. The financial leverage for Chevron has been fairly steady for the past 10 years. And if you compare the financial leverage of Chevron to that of Exxon or Shell, it is definitely better. And that's good because we don't want a company to be more leveraged, especially in times when the industry is struggling. The debt to equity figure for Chevron is also very manageable. It is less than one, which is something we want to see. Back in 2010, it was at 0.11, and the latest quarter, it is at 0.23. So it has been increasing, but not to the point where things are getting out of control. We definitely want to see this number less than one, even better if it's less than 0.5. So Chevron has a good debt to equity ratio. Next, let's look at the profitability. We'll focus our attention on return on equity, since that is the number that Warren Buffett pays close attention to. Buffett wants the return on equity to be greater than 8% over many years. And return on equity is simply a ratio of net income to the shareholder's equity. So it gives you as a shareholder an idea of what kind of return can you expect on the equity, the money that you invest into the company. We can see that the return on equity from 2010 to 2014 was very respectable, always greater than 12%. However, the return on equity from 2015 till now has not been that great. In fact, there was only 1 year where the return on equity was greater than 8%, which was in 2018, when the return on equity was 9.8%. So if Warren Buffett were to look at this, he would not be very happy. But if you follow Benjamin Graham, who was Warren Buffett's professor, he would tell you that if you are an enterprising investor, you may venture into this investment. Next, the return on invested capital. This number gives you an idea of how good the management is at allocating capital and getting a return on that invested capital. Back in 2010, the return was 17%, pretty good until 2014, and similar to the return on equity, the return on invested capital has not been that great since 2015. And we can see a picture forming here where ever since the crude oil prices have been declining or in a slump since 2015, Chevron has not been able to generate the profitability that it had been able to generate back when crude prices were higher. Next, let's look at the current valuation for Chevron. We will be comparing Chevron to the S&P 500. S&P 500 is just the top 500 companies in the United States, and it gives us a better picture of how the stock market holistically is doing. First is the price to earnings ratio. We can see that Chevron does not have a price to earnings because its earnings were negative, and a negative PE ratio is not meaningful, so it does not get reported. However, we can see that S&P 500 has a PE of 26.9. Next is the price to book. Chevron's price to book is a 1.1 as compared to S&P, which is a 3.7. The price to sales for Chevron is at 1.3, whereas for S&P 500, it's at 2.6. The price to cash flow for Chevron is 8.1. S&P 500 is at 15.5. And the dividend yield for Chevron is at 6.4. And the S&P 500 is at 1.8. So if we disregard the PE ratio, the rest of the numbers tell us that Chevron is undervalued compared to the top 500 companies in the United States. Hey guys, let's look at the discounted free cash flow analysis for Chevron now. The current year's free cash flow is $13,198 million. This is the free cash flow for 2019. The annual growth rate of free cash flow is 2%. I want my discount rate to be at 10%. The long-term growth rate is 3%. We have 1,873 million shares outstanding. And the long-term debt is $23,691 million. I got this number from Chevron's balance sheet. And after taking all of this into account, we get our intrinsic value to be about $80 per share. And the way we get to this number is we look at the free cash flow for the first 10 years. So the first year's free cash flow, second year's free cash flow, third, fourth, fifth, 10th year, we discount all those free cash flows back to the present value. And then we look at if Chevron were to grow into perpetuity, we discount all those free cash flows back to the present number. So we get the sum of free cash flow for the first 10 years, the sum of free cash flows if the free cash flow were to grow from the 10 years into perpetuity. And after adding these two numbers, we get the intrinsic value of $173,820 million. We subtract the long-term debt from this intrinsic value number, and we divide that number by the shares outstanding. And when we do so, we get the intrinsic value to be about $80 per share. Hey guys, now let's look at the expected rate of return calculation. I pasted the past 10 years of free cash flow numbers from 2010 to 2019. I got these numbers from Morningstar. And we can see that the graph makes it evident the cyclicality of the business. We can see that from 2013 to 2016, the cash flows were negative. This may be because the operating cash flow declined or the capital expenditure in those years increased, or both of them. So this is definitely not an increasing trend, but it shows that the business is cyclical and the cash flows, like the business, are cyclical as well. Then for the future predictions, I'm assuming that there's a 25% likelihood that the free cash flow will grow at 5%. There's a 50% likelihood that the free cash flow will grow at 2%, and a 25% likelihood that the free cash flow will grow at negative 8%. These are the potential arrays that we get for the free cash flows. I input the numbers of shares outstanding, which is 1,873 million shares. Then I input the current stock price, which is about $78 per share, and I get the expected rate of return to be 8.6%. This means that if I were to purchase the shares of Chevron at $78 per share, I would get about 8.6% return on my investment. Hey guys, now let's bring it all together. We looked at the key ratios where we saw that Chevron has not been able to generate as much revenue as it used to, primarily because of the depressed crude oil prices. We also saw that even though Chevron has been increasing the dividend payments to the shareholders, the payout ratio is not feasible in the long run. Unless Chevron's earnings improve, we notice that financially Chevron is robust enough to survive for another 12 months and its debt is very manageable. Chevron is not financially leveraged like the other oil and gas companies are. We also compared Chevron's valuations to those of S&P 500 and noticed that Chevron is trading at a discount. It is important to note that we were not able to compare Chevron's earnings to the S&P 500 because Chevron's earnings were negative. Next, we performed the discounted free cash flow DCF analysis on Chevron and saw that the intrinsic value of the company comes out to about $80 per share. After that, when we performed the expected rate of return calculation, we saw that we would get about 8.6% return. So even though Chevron's fundamentals have been declining for the past 5 years, we know that financially Chevron is capable enough to survive into the future. And looking at the fundamentals for Chevron, I'm reminded of chapter 15 of The Intelligent Investor, where Benjamin Graham tells the enterprising investors as to how they should look at securities. And I will read it out to you. Again, this is The Intelligent Investor, page 382, chapter 15, where Ben Graham says, "The enterprising investor may confine his choice to industries and companies about which he holds an optimistic view. But we counsel against paying a high price for a stock because of such enthusiasm. If he follows our philosophy in this field, he would more likely be the buyer of important cyclical enterprises, such as steel shares, perhaps. When the current situation is unfavorable, the near-term prospects are poor, and the low price fully reflects the current pessimism." So the last three things that Graham says, that the current situation is unfavorable, the near-term prospects are poor, and the low price fully reflects the current pessimism, is perfect situation that the entire oil and gas sector is in right now. And Chevron, which is the most financially stable company out there, is a perfect investment choice if you follow Benjamin Graham and the way he picks securities. And finally, if we include the business strategy, the risk factors, and the liabilities that we talked about in the previous video, we know that Chevron is cognizant and aware of the future, and it is making allocations and doing research and innovation into the renewable energy segment. We know that some of the risks that Chevron mentioned in its 10K are being materialized right now due to the coronavirus outbreak and the shutdowns. However, looking past the near-term bleak prospects that Chevron has, I think that Chevron is still going to come out ahead 10 years from now. It is still going to be the leading energy company. And Superior North has Chevron as one of the stocks in its portfolio.
Hey guys, that is all I have for you this week. Hopefully you found this stock analysis video of Chevron helpful. Please do like, share, comment, and subscribe to my channel. Thank you.